There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. Lots of news to get into. Of course, the most important stuff will be at the beginning. You know, it's the this morning when I heard Kane's traffic report during Mobile Mornings, and he had said there was a 15 foot long alligator there at Water Street. I said, oh my. This might be record book territory since the Stokes Gator, the record gator, Mandy Stokes, killed those years ago. She'd been a guest on the show before. She killed up at up near Camden, right at Miller's Ferry. Possibly this could have been a record. So I just questioned that it was 15 feet. It seems like there's been some shrinkage during the day, which seems a little more reasonable. I think it was like cheese wagon this morning on the text line that said, yes, I see him. He's about 11 feet. 11 feet. This is a big gator. That's a big gator, not 15 feet. There's a difference, you know. It's interesting to hear the internet tales are like, man, you know, in Florida, they killed some alligators that are 23 feet long. I'm like, I've kind of been around this stuff before. I never heard that. But, you know, people. The gator is back where it's supposed to be. You could actually argue that. That area right there at the there at Water Street and the connector, that's kind of where the gator should be anyways, too. But they got under a fence. No word if the – no, the gator did not – there was – so they had built a fence and a wall. They did build a way to keep out the gator from illegally immigrating onto Water Street, but it failed and they got through. But, yeah, there it is. There it is. So – and also I like this, too. This description here from WKRG, this from Olivia Wilson and Leon Petit and David Walsh. It took three of y'all, my friends, it took three of y'all to do the story. It talks about the gator this morning, and then it goes on to say, police were busy trying to divert traffic while Alabama Wildlife Solutions came to get the gator off the road and back under the fence it came from by poking it. Now, remember growing up, you'd hear that, okay, listen, if you have to outrun an alligator, you can run in a zig, because they can. Cause people don't realize gators are pretty darn fast. Most critters are way faster than, well, there's tortoises, but most critters are faster than we are. Even the slow ones are faster than we are. But remember when you were a kid, they're like, man, if you run a zigzag pattern, they can't zigzag and they won't get you. So maybe we put this in with the list of things to do with alligators. Run in a zigzag and then poke it. Poke it, says video shows the wildlife official poking the alligator. Then it adds, each time the gator was poked, it thrashed. Probably do the same thing. And I said, officials eventually got the alligator to go back under the fence. And with the gator out of the way, traffic was moving on Water Street. So there you go. I don't want to live in a world where we don't occasionally have an alligator get on a roadway. Not even get them on the causeway as they plow over the red-bellied turtle fences there along the causeway, keep the turtles from getting squashed. I think I like this. I like living in a place where on occasion we have alligator get in the roadway, right? I mean, Water Street, there along the water and along the Mobile Tensaw Delta, a place that alligators call home. Now, were there a bunch of us going, it's a pretty good sized gator. I need to keep tabs on that for August season. Yeah, possibly. But all right. So that's one. Number two, the news story there from Town Hall Radio that was talking about the attack of the killer swine in Italy. You know they're supposed to be there, right? That, like, while they're invasive here, pigs are supposed to be there. I mean, they do the Italians, they do all these driven boar hunts. Go YouTube that. See what that's all about. They dress up like fancies and get in stands, and they go on drives. Not like our drives back here, y'all. They're way dressed up. It's real official. But they're hunting the boars there. I don't know. Out of control. Boars in Italy. So there's our animal stories for the day. All right. Get rolling with this as well as we get started with this hour. You can vote online on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. The online opinion poll question is one I want to talk with you about. You can vote in the poll. You can also at the same time send me a text at 343-0106 or a phone call. The question I posed to Jeff, and it's the question, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, should the Mobile police chief be required to live within the city limits of Mobile? Okay. And like Dalton said this morning, just change Mobile to whatever city or town you live in. Should the chief need to live there? Because it was a big question, too. You remember, I think it was in the first term of Mayor Stimson and members of his staff. The mayor, he lives in Mobile, but members of his staff did not. And Councilman Fred Richardson had taken grievance with that and had questioned that. And there's been this conversation. What positions, what level, if any, should you require that person to be a citizen of the city they're serving? What about that on a police chief level? You know, Jeff brings up the point. You get a place like what I call Mountain Brook, but the people up there call Mountain Brook. People in Mountain Brook, can you buy a house in Mountain Brook up on Shook Hill? Can you buy a house there for the money you would make as a police chief? I don't know that's true, but your thoughts, should that be a requirement there? So it's an online opinion poll question, so you can vote. And also, I'd like to hear from you on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Speaking of city questions here, we'll have District 6 Mobile City Councilman Josh Woods joining us a little after 12:30 on the show. Also, Dale Leach from Land App joins us in hour number two. Update two, as we get some like news items updated here. Here's a story we've been talking about for 10 years, maybe. I think that's fair. Probably 10 years. And that is, or 9 years, something like that. Getting protection for the underwater forest. You'll hear my buddy Ben Raines come on the show and talk about that underwater forest. And this question of giving it protection. And if you didn't hear our conversations in the past, it's not protection like you don't get to go there. It's protecting these 50,000-year-old cypress stumps that are in 100 feet of water from somebody digging them up and turning them into coffee tables, right? So people can actually go, so you can fish them, you can dive them, all that stuff. But before they publish the numbers, you know, before they publish the GPS location, they need to have protection for 50 to 60,000-year-old artifacts that belong to we the people. Well, this is taken for, you know, it was going to happen, then not happen, and we've had changes in representation in AL1. But now, this is of yesterday, I think it came out, said, this is from Politico.com, said the Natural Resources Committee advanced a bill that would designate a 60,000-year-old underwater forest off the coast of Alabama as a new National Marine Sanctuary. By unanimous consent, the committee approved H.R. 897, which would grant federal protection to the ancient cypress forest located 60 feet underwater. It was like a little more like 100, but in the Gulf of Mexico, a few miles south of Gulf Shores, Alabama. The bill, sponsored by Alabama Republican Representative Jerry Carl, would prohibit the cutting or removing of any of the trees or additional drilling in the seabed, but would allow fishing, diving, and recreational and commercial activities. So there you go. So that's at least got out of committee. Does that mean it's going to happen? I don't know, but it's further along, and that's good news out there. So those of us that have been kind of following that story for a while, I'm happy about that because I want everybody to be able to go out and dive. It's the coolest thing. So Ben had a piece of one of these. They took a core. He was out there with the people from LSU. And you can watch his, you go watch all Ben's documentaries, but that's one of them on the underwater forest. And they cored these trees to be able to do like carbon dating on them, you know, say, so they can say it's 50,000 or 60,000 years old. And so he had a piece of this core where they had drilled one of these stumps to take a core out to sample it. And y'all, if you've ever cut cypress, you know the smell, right? It still smelled like that. And some of them, not the piece he had, but some of them you can see in the video have sap still running out of them as they heated up on the deck of the boat. 50,000-year-old cypress still smells and looks like cypress. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. So I'm glad they're getting some protection there. Also, I guess we can update the story. Been a stormy week in New York. It's, I guess she's coming back now. This is what, this will be almost 3 days of testimony from Stormy Daniels in the trial in New York. This is interesting to me. They brought her back after lunch. They're bringing her back. What are we getting at? It's a question I asked Monday. If this was specifically about the money, right, and the Michael Cohen and the payoff and where the money came from, and are there FEC violations, Federal Election Commission violations, wouldn't you just establish that something happened? Something happened, and Trump wanted to keep it quiet, right? You would move on to the money. You would move on to the money portion, right? You get to the, here's the money, and here's how it was moved, and here's what the money was procuring somebody to do or not do. That's where the get is, right? But no, in fact, it continues to talk about salacious details. And I'm not above looking at salacious details. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I'm holier than thou. But it, to me, seems like maybe the purpose of this is just to air a bunch of dirty laundry and maybe get a conviction, maybe not. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to air out all the dirty laundry. And I asked this on Monday, I've asked it several times. Do you think this changes a single vote in the election, in the general? Does it change? Is there somebody who is going to vote for Trump? And if somebody's going to vote for Trump and all of a sudden they're going to change their vote because of this, I just, show me that person. I'd be interested. I'm not saying they don't exist. It just seems like there's not many of them. So there you go. Gene, if you want to respond to that, I'm sure Gene will want it. Gene texted in, I guess it was during Jeff's show, said, what happened to USA Radio News on your station? We talked about this last week. We switched national news providers because USA Radio News was not updating their news very often. And so, Gene, I told him, you're fired, because they didn't give us updates to the news, because that's what we do. We don't want to run things that are 2 days old because they're not news. And she goes on to say, who is the wacko selling precious metals to evangelicals on your station? I don't know which wacko you might be talking about, but I'll tell you why that happens, Gene. You're the reason it happens. You are the reason that you hear crypto, corn, extreme patriot products for sale. Gene, you're the problem. You and your ilk that go after any company that advertises it. I mean, here is Fox News that pulls numbers way bigger than CNN or MSNBC in time period. You look at them, and they got to have crypto corn advertising, and the station, the network that has less ratings gets all the cherry pick of the ads. Which is not a meritocracy. It's not, hey, they have more eyes, they have more viewers. That's how the media world works, right? It's not that. It's that they won't get, so they could be on CNN and nobody's going to come attack and try to cancel them, like Eugene. So the reason it's crypto, patriot, corn, extreme, those ads are there because people like Eugene have made it impossible to sell pickup trucks and cold beer and you know, whatever else on those national news sources. So there you go. If you want to know why that happens, that's exactly why it happens. 343-0106, 343-0106. If you want to respond, that's cool. If not, just stand by for news. It's coming up in just a minute.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I just get a note out to our public service announcement director, my man Charlie Moss. Charlie, if you're listening, I don't see you when you come in here on Sunday evenings. outside of that team Larry Bird played for, everywhere else it's with the hard C. The Celts and Celtic, and you go with the hard K part of that. So just saying. You did disrupt your flow, but if you want to edit that, we can get that. You can go ahead and come in and cut it and do that edit change when you get a chance. All right. Also coming up, if you have somehow missed the memo, it is Sunday. It is Mother's Day. Do not forget. Do not get yourself in a pickle here. And I got a great idea for you, too. My buddy Clint Jameson had sent me a note here about 2 weeks ago. He said, hey, by the way, we have bikes that are pretty good for mom as well. And I think about that. The e-bike that I ride from Adventure Bicycles, that's a great thing. But that's not the only thing. Okay, so Mother's Day right now, special is going on. This is Adventure Earth Bicycle right there in Midtown. They've got beach cruisers and comfort bikes for under $400. So mom wants to get out, ride with the kids, whatever. Or your mom wants to get out, enjoy some bicycling. $400 for the beach cruisers and comfort bikes. The adult three-wheelers are on sale in a variety of colors as well. And then you got the Fuji e-cruisers. Now, these are e-bikes on sale for under $1,000. Normally, they're $1,500. Right now, $999. Fuji e-cruisers plus the new U-Free and Denago e-bikes arrived with a 750-watt motor and a 70-mile range. And so, in other words, you can go on down the road and come back. Check those great deals out for Mother's Day. At Adventure Earth Bicycles, they're at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris, so check them out there. All right, we can go to the phones. We can go to the phones first. Okay, we'll do that. And I don't know why that is. Stand by on the phones. I want to check one thing first, then we're coming to you. I know you're holding on desperately to get on. We just got to press this and this and... I don't know why. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening, but it's always an adventure. It's okay. It's an adventure. Let's go to, I don't know who. Is it Matt? Who am I talking to here? Who is this?
It's George.
Oh, George. I'm sorry about that. George, I got it all screwed up in here. Okay, good. George, what's up?
One thing about the trial real fast, which I do think I understand what you were trying to say about it. But I think the reason, obviously, there is a huge component to trying to embarrass him more and more by putting all this stuff out and having the testimony of Daniels and whatever. But the other part of it, too, is they've said numerous times, paying the money is a misdemeanor. The accounting is a misdemeanor. They're trying to link all these things together to show a conspiracy that it was election fraud. And that's why the federal government wouldn't even try to get a conviction on this. They looked at it and said there was nothing there. And, of course, like I said, New York's trying to tie these things together to say, well, this ultimately had to be the reason why they did this and this.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at is you can establish that and say, hey, he had sex with Stormy Daniels and didn't want the story coming out. And at that point, you've got the engines cranked up, right? And then you go to, I would think, I mean, I don't, it's, I'm not one of these people that's the acolyte of Trump that's upset that, you know, whatever. I'm just pointing out that if you're going after what you're talking about, George, which is spot on, you would have set the thing like, they had sex, this thing and that. Now here's the money. I'd be spending way more time on the money, but it seems like there's 3 days of Stormy Daniels.
Well, I mean, they're still getting there, but like I said, what they're trying to establish is this long pattern of deceit and everything else that goes along with it. And that's why you had the you started the testimony with the guy from the Inquirer.
Old
saying,
Pecker.
Well, Pecker. This has been a pattern of his from the get-go, which I look at that and I think, well, that tells me the opposite. This isn't a one-off thing. He's done this for a long time, even way before. You know, he was trying to get elected. You know, he's paying off the doorman. So it's like of his of Trump Tower. So it's like, you know, both can't be true in the sense that you're looking at it. It's like, you know, okay, whatever. But like I said, I thought that was just something more to add to it. It's like that's why they're going into this, because they're trying to bog the jury down with all these details to make them think, you know, well, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Well, if I've got, you know, 100 things that are bad, then that 101st thing must be true.
Yeah, I follow what you're saying, and that would be their idea. How they're, the course that they're getting there, I understand where you're coming from. I think they're a little off course, or maybe they're spot on course for the politics they're trying to play with this as well. By the way, Squirrel Vereen on the text line had said, how about, we're talking about the residency for like a police chief, he said, how about community advocates be required to live in the neighborhoods where they don't want police to go into? I like that, Squirrel. Pretty interesting guy. By the way, Josh Woods joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. A heads up, two shows on the road tomorrow. Going to be at the Convention Center, not far from, maybe we'll have an alligator there. You know, at the Eco Wild Festival, maybe we could get the alligator from this morning to come on in through the convention center. Might get some talk going out there. But yeah, Midday Mobile tomorrow from day one of Eco Wild. It's all 3 days of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the convention center. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Plus, while we're in that neighborhood, Supermom had sent me a text here. It says, random question, but what is the stretch of road that's after the Bankhead but before the Cochrane Bridge? Is that still the causeway? Or is the causeway just that straight shot going east and west? We always call it the Cochrane Causeway. I think it's still the causeway, but at that point, it's not the regular causeway. It's the Cochrane Causeway. If somebody wants to correct me on that, but yeah, I think at the point that the Bankhead Tunnel leaves, then it goes from being Causeway to Cochrane Causeway to get you the Cochrane Africatown Bridge. I'm sure the text line will be full of people that might agree or disagree. How about this man? I mean, it's not his district, but it is his city. District 6, Mobile City Councilman Josh Woods joining me.
I think the causeway's the causeway, right?
But once, okay, what she's asking is, so you're on the causeway. Let's say you're heading westbound, okay? And then the causeway, does the causeway end where it goes into the Bankhead, and then you kick and you go north there, right? That's the Cochrane Causeway, I think.
Yeah, I think you can make the case either way.
Okay, so you're of the mind that it could just be the causeway even after the spur goes off to the
bank. I think so, because if you think about it, the causeway continues to the bridge, but yet you have that short little like driveway aspect. So I think you can make it either way.
But there's a running question out there. We'll put that up as another online opinion poll question with the one I was asking earlier that has been discussed, and it's good to have you in studio to talk about this and a whole lot more. It's been a it's been something for the last for us Mobilians, let alone being in the city council for the last month and a half.
It has, and I'm the newest in. I'm obviously been sworn in last August. Never in a million years would I've thought that this would be one of the items or the issues that we've had to deal with as far as our agenda is concerned. But fortunately, we're moving forward. We're not lingering on this, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that any type of issues are addressed. But also keeping in mind that the city has to go forward and the police department has to go forward.
Well, I've said that several times. I'm like you. I'm a Mobilian, so I want what's best for our city. And so I do we have to linger? I'd like us to move forward. I'm worried about public safety morale.
Yes.
And at the same time, though, if in this investigation, if things, I was even talking about this the other day, even if the investigation doesn't end up pointing the finger at somebody, can we, you're the private sector, can we learn a best practice from this and say, hey, we did this, we probably in the future need to do something different?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I'm just speaking from the representative of District 6, not necessarily the council as a whole by no means. But, kind of what I look at is obviously this has been kind of a little bit of a drama that's unfolded the past couple of weeks. A lot of accusations have kind of been out there. A lot of defense have been out there. And, kind of as far as the city council's concerned, and again, I really do want to brag on our city council relationships. We're a very tight-knit group. Everybody communicates. There's not, what does this person think? What does this person think? We're very tight. We talk all the time. There's just a great attitude on the ninth floor of trying to work together instead of, you know, picking a hill to die on, per se, based on one individual. And I'm very proud of what the council's done working and trying to figure this out. Obviously, a decision had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
and the decision to fire him, I said he wasn't. I mean, he had sat here in that chair you're in right now and said he's not coming back. So, I mean, that was almost like a clerical decision the way I saw it.
That is, and I have the utmost respect for both Mayor Stimson and Chief Prine, former Chief Prine. Like Chief Prine, former Chief Prine, like him a lot. But you know, it just kind of came to a stalemate, I guess, per se, or a draw at the moment. And unfortunately for the best of the city of Mobile and the MPD, I mean, it was time just to make that decision. Let's move forward. And again, you know, because that decision was made, that decision had to be made. There was, based on comments, based on all the back and forth, there was no way that reconciliation would occur there.
You couldn't put that toothpaste back in the bottle.
There's no way. And we have a lot of toothpaste out of the bottle at my house, and there's my boys go through some toothpaste.
Yeah.
But there's no way to kind of bring that back and make reconciliation happen. And unfortunately, that decision had to be made, and that was made with the thought of, or with in the mind, at least my mind, that we have to have a chief. We have to move forward. We have to make sure the morale doesn't go down. We have to make sure that areas are being covered and areas are being are taken care of as far as the police department is concerned. So I did not want to make that decision, but unfortunately we did have to take that to a vote. As far as the investigation, mm-hmm. of the accusations, I can tell you, Sean, that, you know, I know there's a lot of commentary on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually stopped looking at social media as we work through this process. But there's a lot of commentary out there. Unfortunately, a lot of it's from folks that sat in my chair. Maybe it's the one that retired or one that quit, unfortunately, that there's a lot of commentary. But I can tell you, just to answer any criticisms that's flying my way, I ran on good governance. And to me, good governance means that you work with others to try to move the city forward, not go to your office and build a wall. So that through this process, we've kind of made this decision that even though that we weren't submitted formally or officially or even by email, these grievances as a city council, we're going to take the accusations that are out there, and we're going to investigate them with a true third party. And what that true third party looks like is me and Councilmember Reynolds and also our council attorney, Michael Linder. We spent the last 4 days, 3 days, fielding calls, taking emails, looking at things, and we are doing our best to make sure that, and I think we've narrowed it down to two firms at the moment.
Okay.
That have no...
Yeah, because, that's, if people hadn't been following it, that was one of the questions, like, oh, will you do this? And, you know, you have the city attorney that's working for the same firm. I mean, so these will have no connection to...
We are going out, and as a matter of fact, sitting in my email box is a response from one. We asked them to go through, we gave them a lot of names. I'm not going to share all the names, mm-hmm. but we gave them a list of names, of companies, of people, of individuals, of maybe even pets. That do you have any connection whatsoever to these, to anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a response in my email box from one. We're waiting on the response from the other. And we are making sure we're going to great lengths to make sure that this is an independent, true third party. That's why we're looking at a firm out of Birmingham and a firm out of Huntsville.
Okay.
We're trying to find the most independent firm we can to look at these allegations.
When you send that to the firm, like, it's not an RFP, but I mean, like, you sent it to the firm, like, we want y'all to look, did you delineate these things?
We did. So that's kind of where, I guess, the sausage got made, mm-hmm. On Tuesday. I sat there, we had a committee meeting as a whole. You know, one thing that Councilmember Dave's brought up was a focus on whatever issues or whatever allegations, how we determine it, whatever it needs to look like. It really needs to focus on, was this allegation A, allegation B, allegation, was it illegal? Was it unethical? Was it against policy?
Okay.
So that's the framework. That's the overarching framework of the answers that we need. So then, as the meeting as a whole went back and forth, I kind of started looking at all the allegations that I had in front of me, and kind of saw there was some sort of maybe delineation between, so they could all fit into a heading. I'm a heading guy. I'm a spreadsheet guy.
Okay.
So that's where kind of we came up with those four areas that we're going to look at. And
it'd be like, it'll come back at almost, will there be that spreadsheet scorecard that, you know, question A, it wasn't illegal, but it was unethical. Or what, yeah. I'm not saying what the answers will be, but it'll be. And then question B, it's the okay.
And that's where, like, Councilmember Dave's made the reference to the Ken Starr investigation. Yeah. That thing went on forever, and it investigated everything. We don't want that. We want to address the allegations that were made, and in sincerity, we want to address those allegations. We came up with the three areas of dealing with the ShotSpotter.
Yeah, what are those? Because I'm really interested that, you know, get the full investigation into this. But at the end of it, if nothing else happens, do we learn our lesson?
And I'm a guy. I work for a board of directors.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that a lot of times there needs to be a policy.
Uh-huh.
That's where I end up at the end of the day a lot of times. So really, we're looking into the ShotSpotter contract, everything surrounding that, really specifically around that report that was peer reviewed. How did we get to that point? Also, the administration of Mobile Police Department and the tech center, the Gulf Coast Technology.
Yeah.
One of the allegations or a couple that were made from former chief was there really wasn't a, I guess, maybe an org chart or really unclarity there. So let's look into that. Who's
in charge of it? Who
do we report to, kind of thing?
Right. If you draw that umbrella thing, right? Yeah, you draw that chart. I mean, questions came up and the grievances about it, I got to tell you, if you'd have quizzed me, I'd have said, well, it's probably under police department.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. And if not, you know, what's the reasoning for why it's under that org chart per se? And then also seeking to remove from his position. We looking to try to get a time frame on that and kind of explain, you know, every step of the way to make sure, again, was it illegal? Was it unethical? Was it against policy?
Right.
And then finally, you know, kind of addressing the grievances. Specifically at this point with former Chief Prine, because he was a non-merit employee.
Right.
That's a little bit of different rule book compared to your merit guys and ladies. So what was that, you know, what did that look like? And then also too, that kind of might be one of those teachable moments when it comes to whatever's uncovered as far as how those grievances were addressed. Is it time for maybe a policy to be put into place or something? You know, not putting any words in whatever the investigation is going to show, but end of the day, all these allegations that were made kind of fit under those four topics. And I know there's a lot of criticism of, well, the city council didn't bring in the former chief to talk to him. Well, again, trying to be a independent third party between an argument between two people, we're going to let the investigator do that. I've never investigated things. You can ask my track record. It deals with who put a hole in the wall, which one of my boys put the hole in the wall.
You know, to get them all together at one time.
Yeah.
That's how you sweat them out.
Yeah,
right?
And my track record as investigator is not very good on that.
You still have holes in the wall. Unaccounted for. Yeah, on the one thing, just as a citizen, on the grievance, and I've talked to both Mayor Stimson and former Chief Prine, and this policy, okay, you make the grievance. I've always been in small business, so I don't know this stuff. You just kind of take it straight to the person, but that the grievance goes through a chain of command. But is there an expectation of an answer?
Right.
Is that a thing? Like, if I make the grievance, even if it comes back and says, no, this thing was completely fine, but don't, you know, I don't know what's normal. I mean, my gut tells me you get an answer back, but I don't know what the rules are in a big organization.
Yeah, and that's working for a small hardware store in high school and early college, working for a small bank and then small regional, and then working for a large regional, kind of seeing the HR aspect of it or the grievance side. But that's one of the things is, you know, what's, is there a policy? Was it followed? Is there not a policy? Let us know. Maybe there should be a policy. And again, really trying to be the independent person in the room, the city council, why isn't he getting interviewed? Well, there's a chance he might be interviewed.
Okay.
If the third party comes in and they want to talk with him, which I would imagine that probably would be the case, they're going to ask him to talk. And if he doesn't talk, or if he's like, oh, I don't want to get involved in this, then they have subpoena authority.
They do.
Yes. We, as you know,
so you grant them the subpoena.
The city council has subpoena authority based on the Zogby Act. So we'll get to the bottom of this. But end of the day, why didn't the city council do this? Why didn't they do it? We're not investigators, and we are trying our best to find an independent third party. Which I really do believe that there's two out there that we're talking to. I really do believe that's our best route to move forward.
And any word coming back from the AG's office?
No, not yet. Not to my knowledge. So.
Okay. Coming right back. More Josh Woods, District 6 Mobile City Councilman, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Our guest in studio, good to see Josh. It has been too long. District 6 Mobile City Councilman, one of his many hats. I'm going to put on another hat here in a second. But with your City Council hat, I want you to answer this question, too. This is our online opinion poll question, and Jason just texted in and said, hey, can you ask Mr. Woods how he would answer the current online poll question, which is, should the Mobile police chief be required to live within the city limits of Mobile?
Yeah, I know that's been a discussion for a long time. I guess kind of like
remember back in the day, it was like when I think the first term for Mayor Stimson, and he had people coming in, you know, and you know who I'm talking about, y'all might be listening, coming in from that lived in the Eastern Shore or whatever, and there was some hubbub about that.
Yeah, as far as other offices, I mean, I guess I'd have to kind of, our other positions.
But yeah, let's stick with chief, we'll be specific.
But chief of PD and chief of fire, I am a believer in the fact that I think they should live in the city limits. You know, obviously the representatives on city council and the mayor and your state reps and which Congress really is weird, by the way. Strange, but
right. I mean, Anthony Daniels running for, he could have been a guy from North Huntsville.
Yes.
He could have been the representative for where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, I've never thought about that, yeah. But I do think that they should live in the city limits. It kind of helps. You kind of got a lot on. You're putting your money where your mouth is whenever it comes to that, per se. And I really, really do believe that. And whether that gets codified or what does that look like moving forward, I don't know what the answer is. I think I told that to Dale whenever he called. But you know, end of the day, I think they should. You know, not necessarily. You don't close your pool off by saying, well, only people that live as of this date in the city of Mobile. You know, you just say, hey, we believe you're the best. You know, most qualified, best choice. Part of the job, though, is you got to live in the city where you serve.
You got a year to get in there, some kind of time frame
like that.
Okay, and yeah, that it does. I mean, that's not the current question. It does. We can down the road talk about all the different positions within it. But you know, I wouldn't want it to happen. Of course, I want to have a Mobile person doing it. I wouldn't want to not get the best person for a job
just because of where they live.
Yeah, that's the. And also, I mean, just to play devil's advocate for a second, if you live in Saraland, if you live on Dauphin Island, you live in Daphne, Spanish Fort, and you're at the airport and somebody says, where are you from? They're going to say Mobile.
Mobile, yep.
Right? I mean, even if they might not be on that side of the city line. Speaking of which, expanded, anything new with annexation and annexation zones?
Not really. Still learning, still getting used to everything. Obviously, trash service, that's a new thing out there.
Yep.
So that's always a conversation point. And you know, one thing that I'm really trying to do with the redrawn lines as far as District 6, I'm still serving those that elected me, even though the lines are
You told me that last time. Like, how does that happen? So you keep...
Yeah, I'm still serving. I'm still answering in conjunction with whomever their new council member might be. But, you know, District 6 was kind of tall and skinny. It's kind of short and fat like me now. So really servicing the new residents, and that's been some learning curves. There's a lot that goes on you don't really think about. You know, obviously there's ordinances that come into play as far as property-wise, you know, operations of businesses out of potential houses and things that, you know, was allowable in the county. Zoning requirements per se, and then also things that really you didn't really think about. You know, if you needed a light at the end of your street, you've forever been without a light. You're at the end of a street and it's dark and people keep dumping trash out there. You know, now the city can come in, the city can you know, take a look and see if that light's needed and if it's appropriate. Unfortunately, I guess right now I'm 3 for 3 on request for lights. So
we're doing really good.
Yeah.
I like hearing you talk about that, because I think it was a week or two ago, you know, watching y'all in council meeting and talk about it on the air. I said, no matter what high drama was going on, I think it maybe was 2 weeks ago. But before the high drama broke out, somebody was saying, I tuned in, they're like, well, my driveway leads out here. Yep. And I'd like to, I said, at a certain point, there's all these other things, but city council at its base level is, hey, I need a light. I need to be able to have my driveway extended, whatever.
Yeah. And that's,
that's the truth.
Yeah. Through the campaign, I always said that, we don't elect a dog catcher. So the closest to the public is the city council. And that's the mentality that I've tried to maintain. A lot of times, instead of, you know, get a complaint email or get a text or get a call, instead of just saying, well, let me send an email to the administration to find out, I've really tried my best to make it a where I go and I find the answer. So, you know, not only moving forward that I know the answer instead of having to send an email to somebody, but, you know, go talk to the people that actually are doing that day to day in the city and find out what the real answer is and what can I convey this to the resident. And, you know, things like lights, things like zoning, you know, that's really helpful to me whenever a resident calls and says, well, I got this issue. Okay, well, a couple weeks ago, I had this issue with somebody else. This was the outcome. This is what you need to do. And that's really, you know, it's that real true sense of servantism, I guess, is that I'm, yeah. I'm striving for.
Well, it's also for, I think, some people get caught up in the drama of all politics, yep, from whatever level, from federal to municipal, forget the fact that the way our founders built this system is you have somebody who has the authority to go get somebody else in the government to give you an answer.
Yep.
You see systems where that doesn't happen. The government runs as its own and the citizen can't get through, you know, or even if they ask the person, they have no power over them. We have somebody in our system from right here in Mobile to Washington to say, hey.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about our government. And, you know, we are governed by the Zogby Law, so city council cannot tell an employee what to do.
You can ask questions, can't you?
Yeah, but I can ask questions. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, hey, can you explain this? Mm-hmm. Why did we do it this way? Okay, well, thank you.
They'll take your call?
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, so, see, yeah, that's
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll just put it that way. I don't have much time here, but any update on where we are with the I'm going to use the wrong term, the Civic Center build or whatever the new term for?
Yeah, so we on Tuesday had an unexpected update. So really, we're working through that design, or they're working through that design phase of the that project. Still on track, and that's okay. One thing that the city council said is if we're going to do this, you know, we're not going to be the cog in the wheel there, that we're not going to hold anything up. But, you know, we do need to know about things so that we can anticipate what's coming forward, so that we can be educated and make decisions. So I do appreciate the administration keeping us up to speed on that. But right now we're still moving forward, still pushing forward. Okay. And I look forward to the Mardi Gras, the first Mardi Gras after the thing's built.
Yeah, me too. Fingers crossed. And you said track, which I don't have time, but made me think train wise.
Oh yeah, that's we haven't been educated on that just yet, okay. But it's coming in the next week or two. So
okay,
we'll as far as education wise, not a vote, but we'll see.
Well, but we got that zoning hearing that happened. Said the platform can be there.
Yep. So they're doing all the back end work, and end of the day, we're gonna have to make a decision of does money go towards it, and then also do we make a lease agreement for said platform?
Okay. We'll get you back in at that point and talk about it more. And in the last 20 seconds, take off that hat, put on the other hat from your gig at the grounds. Yeah. Is this Kid Rock? Think Kid Rock's coming?
Kid Rock's coming for Rock the South. Very excited about that. That's going to be a great weekend. Tickets are on sale. Just look up Rock the South. Also, too, one thing that potentially might be happening is Tristan Harper from American Idol might be joining us on Tuesday, depending on the outcome of what Sunday looks like.
If he goes through an American Idol, where do we just go to Facebook?
Go to our Facebook page, The Grounds Mobile, or go to thegroundsmobile.com, and we'll keep you posted on any updates.
There he is, a man of many hats, Josh Woods. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you.